I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We are broadcasting from our bureau in New York, where Tell Me More made its debut this week. Coming up, we'll commemorate the 100th birthday of the nation's first African-American Supreme Court justice, the civil rights icon, Thurgood Marshall. A little later, we spend time with another towering figure, dancer, choreographer Judith Jameson, the artistic director of the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. The company is celebrating its 50th birthday. But first, the New York City Health Department recently proposed an initiative to try to get every adult living in the Bronx tested for HIV. Other cities have pushed to get large groups tested, but most public health experts agree that this plan is one of the most aggressive ever tried in the country. That may come as no surprise, given that the effort is being led by New York City Health Commissioner Thomas Frieden. He's known for an aggressive approach to public health, having championed some of the country's most controversial initiatives, a citywide ban on smoking in public places, a ban on trans fats in restaurants, and the mass distribution of New York City-branded condoms. To talk about the city's latest effort, we stopped by Dr. Frieden's office earlier this week to find out why the Bronx was chosen for the new initiative and why now.
Community leaders from the Bronx came to us and said, we want to be the first to know. Bronx has a much higher AIDS death rate than any of the other boroughs, and it's already doing better on HIV testing. It has a higher rate of HIV testing than the rest of the city. So the community said, we want to really do something different, better. We want to be in the lead. And we said, we'll be glad to partner with you on that.
Why do you think that the Bronx has the highest death rate? Are there more people at risk in the Bronx for whatever reason? Or are more people dying because they have less access to treatment for whatever reason?
Every year in New York City, 1,000 people first learn they have HIV when they're already sick with AIDS. That means that most of them have had HIV infection for about a decade, and they haven't been diagnosed. They've been in and out of hospitals and other healthcare facilities. They've been in and out of community service providers, but no one's gotten an HIV test. The result, they're going to die younger, and they may have spread HIV to others unwittingly. This is an attempt to say HIV testing is a simple procedure. It's quick. Knowledge is power. If you know you're positive, you can take steps to live longer, live healthier, protect your family, protect your community, and help stop this terrible epidemic.
It still seems like a conundrum, though. I mean, you're saying that there's already a higher testing rate in this area, and yet you still got a lot of people who, it's not that they're unknown to medical professionals. It's not that they have no contact with the medical profession. So to what do you account this issue, this high death rate?
An HIV test should be a routine screen in medical practice. It's important that we get away from the sense that we're only testing people who in some way we think may be positive. At the same time, we need to reach out more intensively to the highest risk groups. And what we're seeing throughout New York City, and in fact throughout the country and much of the developed world, is a resurgence in risky sexual behavior among men under 30 who have sex with other men. So we need many things to try to stop the HIV epidemic. More condoms, more testing, but also a change in behavior. We need to say that for people who know they're HIV positive, that HIV stops with me. And for people who are at risk for HIV, that behavior needs to reduce the number of partners and reduce the frequency of unsafe sexual contact.
I want to talk more in a minute about the issue you just cited, the increase in the infection rate among young men who have sex with other men. But I still want to focus a little bit more on this testing issue. Is it that people aren't getting tested because they're afraid to be, because they don't know they should be, because they don't know how to be? Why do you think that is?
Remarkably, about half of people who go to the doctor assume that they've been tested. Doctor took blood, HIV is a big problem, didn't tell me I was positive, I must be negative. So there's a lot of false assumptions, and we in the healthcare field have really not adapted. HIV testing laws were passed 20 years ago when there was no treatment for HIV. Now there's treatment, it's still an incurable infection, but there's treatment, and we need to really change the way we talk with patients about it, rather than saying, you know, there are pros and cons of knowing, to say that we recommend an HIV test for all of our patients and we plan to get one for you. Here's the form to sign. Do you have any questions?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Frieden about the city's plan to have every adult in the Bronx tested for HIV. How do you plan to do this?
We're working with a broad coalition of healthcare providers, of community groups. We'll be working with community leaders and making HIV testing a routine part of care. So if someone comes into a hospital or a health clinic for an asthma problem or a broken bone or another problem, they'll routinely be told that we plan to get an HIV test and asked if the patient will consent to that.
And I wanted to mention that one of the things you're doing is to offer voluntary testing, but with a revised consent process. Will you tell me about that, and why do you think that's going to help?
Well, unfortunately, in New York State, we're stuck with a law that's out of date. It was written before there was treatment for HIV, and despite advocating for updating that law for the past 4 or 5 years, there's been no change in Albany. So we're stuck with being one of the few states in the country that still requires a written consent for HIV. There are, however, ways that that consent can be made more standardized and integrated with the general consenting process, and we're working hard with New York State Health Department to make that possible.
But why wouldn't you want a written consent form? I mean, people do written consent forms all the time for any procedure, don't they? So what's the problem with having a written consent form? Is it the sense that it's so complicated it frightens people? Or
it adds a level of bureaucracy that makes it for the doctor and the patient easier to avoid. Doctors may say, you know, I don't have that form, I'm not going to ask. Patient may say, I already signed enough things. We don't require separate consent forms for lots of things that give you just as serious a diagnosis as HIV. Most states don't require a separate written consent. We do want to ensure that every test that's done is voluntary, but the fact that today in New York City, 3 people will be diagnosed with HIV when they're already sick with AIDS is a terrible indictment of our system. And all of the education and urging that we do is not going to change that unless we change the way we offer HIV tests and make it a routine part of care.
You cited something earlier in our conversation I wanted to go back to. Last week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reported that HIV infection is increasing among young men who have sex with men, especially among young black men. The report said that between 2001 and 2006, HIV infections among 13 to 24-year-olds rose by 12% a year. Among young black men, it was 15%. Why do you think that is?
No one is sure, but one possibility is that men under 30 grew up not seeing their friends die from AIDS. Men over 30, by and large, came of age before there was effective treatment for HIV. At the same time, the images that people see about HIV these days suggest that, hey, if you get HIV, you can climb mountains. If you get HIV, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It remains an incurable infection that's going to change your life irreversibly and in ways that you're not going to like.
Are there any special efforts being aimed at this particular population in your new initiative to get every adult tested? Do you have any special messages for this group of young people? Because I think young men are probably the least likely to go to the doctor unless they have an accident, they have a bike accident or something like that.
The most important message is not about testing. The most important message is to reduce sexual risk through reducing the number of partners, reducing risky sex, and increasing the use of condoms.
You've developed a reputation as a bit of a maverick, and I know you've heard this. We've talked in the past about your anti-smoking initiatives and anti-trans fat sort of initiatives. Some people say you're trying to create a nanny state. How do you see your efforts in this area?
What we try to do is base all of our policies, all of our programs on rigorous data to do what's proven to work. It's a sad commentary on where we stand as a nation that's seen as somehow being overly aggressive. When we removed secondhand smoke from all workplaces because we know that it causes cancer and heart disease, that was seen at the time as very far out. When New York City went smoke-free, only one state, California, was smoke-free, and no countries were smoke-free. Today, more than half of all Americans and more than a dozen countries have gone smoke-free. When we proposed eliminating trans fats from restaurants, people thought that was far out. But trans fats are rigorously documented to increase your risk of heart attack and stroke by increasing bad cholesterol and decreasing good cholesterol. And it turns out it was pretty easy for the restaurant industry.
Finally, I had the opportunity to visit last week with the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator, Ambassador Mark Dybul, about the global effort to fight the HIV-AIDS epidemic. When you think about where we've been in the fight against AIDS and where we are now, do you feel optimistic that we're actually going to get ahead of this disease at some point? Are you pessimistic when you look at numbers that show that, in fact, there's a sort of a rebound in the infection rate against a group that, in fact, we had a lot of success with in the past?
I think we need to go back to focusing on what's important and what's proven. We know that things can make a difference. Community leadership, increasing use of condoms, encouraging a reduced number of partners, reducing the riskiest sexual practices. These things can really bring HIV rates down. We've seen real progress. There used to be 300 children a year developing AIDS in New York. Now it's less than 5. There used to be 7,000 new AIDS cases among injection drug users a year in New York City. That number has been reduced by 90%. It's still too high, but a dramatic reduction. We know that in the 80s, the gay community changed behavior, and that led to reduced infections. We know from around the world there are success stories in reducing infections. We know that people with HIV can live long and productive lives. Yet we do face enormous challenges, and we have to be much more effective if we're going to end the epidemic.
New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Frieden spoke with us from his office in New York. Dr. Frieden, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.